Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And welcome back to the show. And thank you for joining us for another of the most scintillating hour in finance radio. It should be hours. At least that's my opinion. And I know that there are those among us. There's people in my own family that are glad it's not hours. There's so much to talk about. But before we get started, this is a special day with us right now. You don't know this listening at home, but hopefully you've got to know me a little bit by doing this show, but you don't know how brave and courageous I am. Let me tell you how brave and courageous I am. I've got three in-studio guests with me, my favorite guests, but not one of them is over 9 years old. I've got the three kids came up with daddy today. They're sitting in the studio with me right now. I've got my 9-year-old, my 7-year-old, and my 5-year-old. They're all here. And I'm just hoping we get through this hour without the studio catching on fire, without somebody screaming or a wrestling match breaking out in the middle of the studio. So if you hear anything that is a little bit off color or anything that sounds like an emergency is happening behind us, it probably is. But don't freak out, because it's just, elementary school chaos ensuing. And usually they're pretty good, but I've never done all three in the studio at the same time. So that lets you know the level of courage or stupidity. Oh, it's one of the two, right? They often go together. Anyway, so great to be back. Have so much to discuss. This year, I'm going to be gone next week. So we're going to do a re-rack, as we say in the business. But gone next week up in Cle Elum with the family, taking 6 days to go sledding with the kiddos and do that, have some friends and family up with us, and it's going to be great. So first of all, hope you all had a wonderful Christmas. Hope you got a great New Year's planned. And New Year's. God, I'm all over the place today. New Year's. I don't really get it. My wife and I have gone out a couple times. This even goes back to when we were dating. Couple times on New Year's, and it's the worst. Everything is so crowded. Everything's so expensive. I sound like a curmudgeon. But that's one of the reasons we decided to get out of town and go to a cabin over New Year's, because, A, you don't want to be out driving on the roads. You know, you guys know the reasons for that. And then, B, like I said, it's just everything's so crowded. Like a curmudgeon. But New Year's just isn't my thing. I mean, it's fun. You know, it's sure, a party, New Year's, all that kind of stuff, but I don't know, I'd rather go sledding with the kids and stay off the roads. So anyway, enough sideways talk. We're basically going to do a best of on this episode. So we're going to hit up some of the best topics. And by best, I mean best response from you guys, the listeners. The topics that garnered the most attention and the most conversation and the most contact and questions from you guys. And then also the other side of it is the topics that I thought were the most exciting, right? Only seems natural. So we're going to do the market update. We're going to revisit. I really want to lay out again in concise terms, because this generated so many questions. And one of the things that we talk about, and I really want people to understand, is that the structure of your investments and the structure of your portfolio have as much to do with the success over the long run of your portfolio. The structure has just as much to do with the success as what it is you're actually invested in. And I want to revisit that. And I want to revisit why we are such fans and believers of the structure that we use and where I think so many other portfolios go off the rails. Not where I think, where I see it constantly. Like, you know, 8 out of 10 clients we sit down with. And just so you understand it. And then as part of that conversation, we're also going to talk about performance. The last 2 years have been crazy in the markets, but really what it has done is it has unveiled a couple things to me. A, it, as weird as it sounds, because I'm so close to it, I'm up, you know, nose to nose with this thing every single day. The lack of understanding about how to look at performance, how to look at returns, where you're really at, what you've gained, I think is so important because this year is a perfect example. I don't want to steal thunder from the topic. We'll get to this. But I just think it's so important that clients have a realistic understanding of where they are, what they're making, and what's really important, how to look at performance. And one of the reasons that I want to do it is what I have realized through my own clients is that we haven't done a good enough job with our existing clients explaining to them how performance works and where they're really at and how to look at things. Okay. So really want to go over that. And again, there's probably some of you sitting there going, oh, this is too sophomoric. It's really not, guys. It's really not. The other thing that you need to do too when we're talking about performance is you need to know who to listen to and who not to listen to. And you need to understand that there's such a big part of this industry that cheerleads the industry itself. All right. And that's because it's good for business. And this gets right into the stuff that we talk about on a regular basis, saying that, listen, so many of the things that you think you know about finance, so many of the things that you've been taught to pay attention to, it's marketing. There's a lot of marketing. And it's not nefarious, right? It's not people trying to trick you, but I want you to understand the marketing aspect. So, again, I kind of droned on and on there, but that's going to be one of the topics. Another topic I want to revisit that has had it's caught so much attention from so many of you. We did our class, that seminar. And again, if you're interested in coming to one of our seminars where, and I'm going to tell you guys, we have a blast. Okay. Because there is no sales pitch. Okay. I walk you through in about 50 minutes, our entire planning process, the process that we ran Dory and his wife through when they became clients of ours, the process we run all of our clients through. We show you how we do the portfolio that we show you slide shots and examples of our portfolio analysis tool that we use, third party, but it breaks down. If you want to know, maybe you're sitting there going, you know what? I don't know if I believe this guy's whole deal, but I think it'd be really interesting to know the ins and outs of my portfolio. Email us, guys. We run it right through a data report. And listen, where the report comes from, where the data comes from, are third party sites. And all the performance and fee information comes right from Morningstar. So it's not, you know, we're not giving you our opinion of your portfolio. We're showing you, right? We'll tell you how much volatility is in your portfolio. We stress test your portfolio. We run modeling. So we'll show you how your current portfolio would have done during 08, 09, how it did during 2013, how it did this year. You know, we show you the different modelings. We show you what your total fee structure is. Most people don't know that. It's always a mind blower. We go through that part of the portfolio. But maybe that's why you want to talk to us, right? But anyway, long story short, we do this at the seminar. We walk you through the planning process. We hit on things like how, if you need long-term care and how to know that. And again, shameless plug. Well, it's not a shameless plug, not for me. We have no business alliance as a fiduciary, as a registered investment advisor. It is illegal for us to have any relationships with anybody. But if you're shopping for long-term care, trust me, I'm licensed to sell it. I don't. And the reason I don't is because I don't even come close to knowing long-term care like Brian Ott does at 525 Advisors. And again, not saying it because we're both on the radio station together. I'm just saying it because he knows long-term care insurance like nobody else. He really does. So anyway, so we go through long-term care. We go through the whole planning process. Takes about 50 minutes. We show you the performance of our portfolios versus the averages, hit on the common misconceptions in retirement, and that's it. And then we take Q&A. If it's like normal, the Q&A session typically lasts longer than the actual seminar. So anyway, we're going to be doing between 4 to 6 of these this next year. I think our earliest one is going to be coming up again in, let's see, early February, I believe. I don't know if we've got the dates dialed in. But I will say this, availability in seats went a lot faster last time than we thought they would. So if that's something you're interested in coming to, again, no obligation, guys. There's no sales pitch. I said as a joke during the the beginning of the seminar, I said, listen, I want everybody to relax, get as much information as you can. Don't worry. This isn't a timeshare pitch. We're not going to put you in the little room and hover over you and give you cocktails trying to, you know, lube things up enough for you to make a bad decision. Not what it is, guys. We just, you know, it's kind of like the tactic we take on the show is I really get a kick out of uncovering common truths and misconceptions and helping people out on the retirement side of it. I really do. And hopefully that show's done this for you. So anyway, long story short, if that's something that interests you, give us a call, 866-779-RISK, or guys, just shoot us an email and just say, look, I'd like to put my name in for reserve for your next class. We're over the course of next year, we're doing something called a roadshow. We had a lot of people call in and say, when's your next class? That's too far of a drive for me. People down as far south as, oh, shoot, I want to say Centralia. People as far north as, shoot, Blaine. Anyway, so we're gonna move. We're going to have different dates up and down the South Sound area, North Sound area, Bellevue, and just try to get around, try to meet everybody, and we have a lot of fun doing it. So, again, if that interests you, give us a shout. So, anyway, let's get into things. And I got sidetracked. So let's get back to what we're covering in the show. So I'm finding it a little bit hard. The kids are being good right now. It's just a little hard to keep the focus. So bear with me. So we're talking about China. We're going to hit on the gold and the dollar. Some interesting things happening there. And that's been a hot topic this year. We're also going to visit the world of alternates, or what we call alts, alternative investments. And then I really want to hit on, we've had a lot of questions about this, Zach. If you think, if what you're saying about economic stuff is really true, how is it that you think stocks will still go up? So I want to revisit that. I just want people to really understand it. So anyway, let's get into the market update. Not surprising what we see here. This melt up, I will say that I'm getting a lot of, it's always interesting during this period of time because you get contacted by clients. And whenever you see market melt ups like this or really aggressive downside moves, even people that aren't clients will call me or text me or email me and go, hey, what's going on? You know, what's going on? And everybody's like, man, what's going on? This market is ripping, right? Everybody's excited. I get it. You know, and as a guy that, again, that does it professionally, I walk in the office every morning, check the accounts. I'm like, man, nice. You know, I'm not against it. I just think it's fascinating because the one thing that this market continues to do, it does what it always does. It befuddles most people. I will say that It's hard to get your head around if you're more of an analytical investor. Because if things seem off to you, I will tell you that we're so trained, we're so taught, right? We're so programmed to look at the stock market and go, oh, the stock market is the reflection of the economy. Things must be going really well. Interesting news out today. Again, I will keep saying the exact same thing. There are not red lights flashing, but guys, there are still yellow lights on. The underlying economy is not reflecting what we're seeing going in the stock market. Okay, the stock market is reflecting liquidity flows. And this is something that I just don't think the average investor doesn't have their head around. When you look at stock prices, you are not seeing value. Okay, you're seeing the perception of value. That's really important to understand. You also need to understand that fund flows dictate all. And what we mean by that is that you can have a company who is getting worse by the day, and yet their stock is going up at 2 times the rate that the company is deteriorating at. Okay. If more money is flowing into that stock, then is going out of it, the price of that stock will go up. Same as stock markets, right? The money has to go somewhere. And what is the most commonly purchased stock in the world? It's the S&P 500 ETF, right? Every time somebody buys that, they are buying indiscriminately all stocks in the S&P 500 ETF. That's all it is. So the more money that flows into the system in the market via, you know, Fed injections, via foreign funds, right? Other investors saying, man, other things are bad in the world. U.S. stock market's rocking, so I'm going to send my money over to the United States, which always happens in terms of, you know, global issues. Look at what's going on in China. A lot of issues there. A lot of crazy stuff going on in South America, right? Europe is no great digs itself. Its markets are breaking out to new all-time highs. But what I'm saying is that this is reflective of fund flows, okay? And that's the crazy thing that's happened to this market in the last 10 years. That is the new part about this market. It's always been like that to an extent. It's not like it's never been it this much. You have to quit looking at the market in terms of an economic indicator. It is not. The market is a liquidity gauge. When central banks are pumping, stocks go up. When they quit pumping, stocks go sideways to down. Okay. Look at the difference between this year and last year. Right. Last year, Fed was saying we're going to raise rates. They suspended QE. They weren't doing any repo facilities. And what happened? Market was all over the place and then had the worst December since on history. I think it was even worse than the previous. Last December was worse than the December of 1929, I want to say. Then what happens? Fed says, hey, we're suspending all rate hikes that we had baked into the cake. We're taking all those off the table and we're actually going to start cutting rates again, right? Market goes up. But then here we come into September, market hits that plateau, the previous all-time high, and then tries to break through it over the summer, gets schwacked, right? Nobody remembers this. We had a nasty downturn right around, say, July, August. Market climbs back up to all-time highs in September, can't break through. That's right when the Fed announced the standing repo facility and boom. Right. What happened? The Fed's balance sheet started growing. Remember, we went from QE, we stopped, and then we went into quantitative tightening where the Fed was allowing bonds to roll off their books. Right. When did that go into full effect? Basically, December of 2017, January of 2018. And then what happened? We had a sideways market almost for 2 years. OK, and then we took off again. The end of this year, broke through all-time highs and set new records. Why? Fed started pumping again. Balance sheet went from $3.7 trillion back over to four. Now we're right around $4.2 trillion. They turn on the spigot, markets go up. And the crazy thing about it, will this last? No, it's a disaster waiting to happen. I mean, if you think that we can print our way to prosperity, I hope you're right. I'm just going to bet against you. I don't know the timeline. Right, but I'm pretty sure that a printing press does not equal, you know, economic surplus, economic success. Maybe for a time it does. It's like running up the credit card, right? You get an Amex with an unlimited, you know, the black Amex, right? No limit, baby. It feels really good till that bill comes due. Yeah, right. Just run it, man. It's like telling the kids, no, we can't. We're tight on money. But Dad, you got your debit card. Have your kids told you that one? It reminds me, and I've said it on the show before, but the checkbook. I remember as a kid just going, Mom, what do you mean we can't afford it? You got checks. Write that, baby, right? You got to, hey, Jerry, you got to live for today, man. Don't worry about debts, deficit, doesn't matter. We got a printing press. So, you know, here's the other tough part about it. Everybody, you know... if you point out these issues in the markets or these breakdowns or the way that things don't work the way that they used to and the craziness out there, if you sit there and say it, people don't want to hear it. And the reason they don't want to hear it is because the stocks that they have picked and the stocks they currently own have gone up so much. And they go, well, you're just, you know, I've had a guy tell you're probably just mad because you don't own it. And I go, I actually do. Right? You can own an investment. And look, if you've been long tech stocks this whole time, listening to guys like me saying they're overpriced, hat tip to you, man. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. The valuations make zero sense. But hat tip to you. Do I wish that we'd have been all in those stocks? Yeah, of course. the end of the day, your job is to make money. But there's this old adage, and I think I see a lot of this going on right now. Not I think, but don't confuse brains with a bull market. Right? How much risk are you taking? Do you know what's in your portfolio? Okay. Do you even know what's driving stocks right now? Do you know that corporate tax receipts in December of this year hit the lowest level that they had been since 2009, meaning that corporate tax revenues were down? What does that mean? That means the profit margins are declining. Right? Again, is that in and of itself an alarm? No, guys. A guy told me recently, he's like, yeah, your whole sky is falling thing. You know, and I said, sky is falling? What are you talking about? He goes, well, you're always talking about how everything is so. And I go, wait a second. Have I told everybody to run for the hills and buy gold and sell all their stocks? No, I haven't said that. But I'm not going to lie to myself and say, hey, look at this portfolio is up 27% this year. Right? Our ETF portfolio we use, it's just crushed it. Right? Is the fact that the underlying investment performed, is that going to make me change my outlook? No. It's not going to make me change my outlook. I got to be honest with myself. What's going on? Are you brilliant? Or is this market just juiced off Fed largesse? Yes, it is. Does that mean the money spends any differently? No. We want gains. And I said to him, I go, sky is falling. What are you talking about? We don't do that here. It's just odd to me. Going into the new year, I would really challenge you. Get unemotional about the way you see your investments. Right? Look at your investments with cold, hard logic. Does it make sense to you? Right? Why are we paying $50 billion for a company that makes $1.6 billion a year in sales, in revenues, and is burning $400 million a year? Why are we paying that multiple for? Well, it's gone up a lot. Yes, I got it. Yep. Do you think it's going to be able to sustain that multiple? God, I'll just tell you, it's not, right? Don't get emotionally invested. I see that way too often. Anyway, there's a little tangent there, but let's wrap up. So, I don't want to steal my thunder on this one, but the most interesting thing right now that I see going on is I think this run up has gotten way ahead of itself. I think that this is not a good time to put money to work. That being said, could I see the market run up another 10, 15% in the beginning of the year? Sure. Why not? Okay. What I'm just saying, though, is remember, we are playing a game of decades. We are not playing a game of days. Okay. What the stock market does and what your account does over the next 6 months has very little to do with your success over the long run. Okay. Keep that in mind. Take the disciplined approach. The thing that's interesting to me right now, again, not skies falling, but this whole move up in the last 4 months, it is not reflected at all in bond prices. In fact, interest rates have actually pulled back a little bit. Looking at the U.S. 10-year, we're now at 1.872. We'd gone from like 1.5 up to 1.95, kind of bounced around in there. Now we're pulling back a little bit. I would expect, when you look at the rally we've had this year, I would expect interest, the 10-year, if you'd have told me the market was up 27, 29%, whatever it is year-to-date now, I'd have thought that you'd see a 2.5% yield on the 10-year. We're still sitting at 1.8. That's fixed income not confirming the move you've seen. Another interesting deal is gold has gotten up off the mat, and then the other thing is the dollar's moved back above 97 on the DXY index, what we call the Dixie. Gold and the dollar moving up together at the same time. That has been a trademark sign. That has been a telltale sign throughout this entire run-up of pending volatility. Not saying the sky's falling, guys. Don't misread me. What I'm saying is do not get all excited and over-exuberant about the year that we just had. This is why you need to have a risk-balanced approach in your portfolio. It is not all or nothing. This is why you need to look at a bond replacement strategy like we use that cuts takes all the fees off your bond portfolio, use our fee-free bond replacement strategy. Geez, one of them, and I'm not quoting performance, I'm not guaranteeing this. We're using a couple different products for different reasons, but those bond replacement strategies, Jer, again, this is not me guaranteeing performance, but I'm providing you a range. They are up net of all fees because there's no fees on them, the whole thing. Net, our clients are up somewhere on average that have been in these products all year long between like 10 and 17%. it with no fees being guaranteed against loss. And the funny thing is that this is the most controversial thing we talk about, right? People are like, I'm kind of skeptical about that. And I'm like, well, what is your bond portfolio made in the last 2 years? They're like, nothing. And I go, right. Well, our bond replacement strategy is up somewhere around 20%. While being insured against loss, guys. Okay. Now, those are not typical returns. You got to look what the indexes have done, right? That plays a big role. But gosh, the idea that you got to be out there taking as much risk as you are to get the returns, it's just not true. So anyway, that's it. I really want to get into the rest of the the show here. We've drug on a little bit, but anyway, if you're thinking about changing your approach, if you've had a really good run in the market and you're kind of freaking out, thinking that you're a little over your skis, right? Maybe it's the other way around. You've been a conservative investor. You've been concerned about all the things that we talk on the show about, and you've been kind of hiding for the last several years or whatever, not making any money. Whatever the reason, if you feel like something's off, and maybe there's risk out there that you don't really think's being discounted into your investments, and you're concerned about whether your position, whatever the case is, guys, get a second opinion. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. And the beautiful thing about the way we do it, guys, we run your portfolio through our third-party portfolio analysis, getting the information from Morningstar and the S&P. It's not us. If nothing else, we'll just give it to you. Now you know what you got. Then we'll show you what our portfolios do in relation to yours and the cost. We'll run ours through the program and show you why we use it. Here's what I'm telling you. We can drastically improve the structure. We'll talk about this in the next segment or two. But we can drastically improve the structure of portfolio, drastically reduce your risk, drastically reduce your fees. Typically, our clients get a fee reduction of somewhere between 60 to 75%. No joke. Our average client all in, I think, is paying like on average 0.5% on their entire portfolio. And that's internal costs included. Everybody's like, well, if they're making that, how do you make any money? Well, A, I'm doing fine. B, the other thing is, guys, we're a young, aggressive firm. And by aggressive, I don't mean investing. Right? We have a pretty conservative model. But we're in growth mode. We know that if we do the best for clients, which means maybe we make a little less money in the interim, that we're going to do better. We're going to grow better as a firm. And we want to give these people, we want to give you the best. We got a better structure. We got a better way of doing it. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Ask for the free booklet about our bond replacement strategy, common sense investing that Dory talks about. Request a phone interview. We can do a phone consultation right over the phone. I've actually got two this afternoon. If you don't want to talk to anybody, maybe you're a little skittish. You're like, I don't want to get sucked into a timeshare type deal, because we're not. But I understand that we can do email correspondence. So, Zach, what do you mean you can improve performance and cut my fees by 75%? I've been on the radio saying this for 3 years. It's not a lie. It's done through structure, okay? We'll talk about that coming up. But just educate yourself. Know what's out there. Don't be the guy sitting there 3 years from now going, oh, my gosh, the market crushed me again, and I should have listened to that crazy dude on the radio. Don't be that guy. Anyway, we got to run. We'll be right back. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, as we close out the year and look ahead to a crazy election year in 2020, what's the number one thing investors need to be aware of?
Dory, I'll tell you the same thing I told you when you and Suzanne became clients. Risk management. We're looking at 10 to 15 new prospective client portfolios every week. And I see two things. A, people are being far too cautious. Or B, people aren't being nearly cautious enough. And remember, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. We can take less risk, pay far less in fees, and increase our upside potential. And our free booklet, Common Sense Investing, will show you exactly how we do that.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK or knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm's licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor. Hey, it's Story Monson with Brian Ott from 525 Advisors and host of Long Term Care Radio. And Brian, we have another great question from a listener. What is the best age to look into long term care insurance?
You know, Dory, we have plans that will help people up to age 85, but here's what you need to know. It's not your age that allows you to get long-term care insurance. It's your health. So the best time to look into getting a plan is when you're healthy and you can still qualify. If you have a question for me, send it to me at 525longtermcare.com. You can also learn about the new programs that pay you back if you never use your plan, and you can sign up for one of our free upcoming classes. And don't forget to join me every Saturday morning on Cairo for Long-Term Care Radio.
We indeed chose the best plan that pays us back if we never use it. Learn what may be the best option for you at one of Brian's upcoming classes. Classes are free, and you'll even get a copy of Brian's book, which has a ton of great info. Seating's limited, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you so much for sticking with us. Let's get right into it. Rambled again on the opener. I'm tired of saying that every single week. This is a New Year's resolution right now, folks. You guys are going to be the witness. Okay. The goal is to keep the opening segment below 15 minutes. It's ambitious. It's really putting me under the gun, but I'm going to give it a go. Anyway, let's get right into it. Switching things up a little bit here. We're going to do one segment right now on the structure of the portfolios because that was a hot topic. Again, we're doing the best of today, best of the year. And then the end of it, I want to talk about the whole China issue again because, like I said, we've had such a... It's fun, right? It's funny, and it's one of the things we try to do on this show. Is it's really not just about marketing and trying to get people to call. It really is. I am really passionate about helping people on the investment side of things, helping get breaking down the complex things that are currently going on that affect your retirement, that affect your life, and breaking it down into simple terms that even the layman understands. By layman, I do not mean to be condescending. This is not what the majority of you do for a living, right? I say that with I want to break it down the way that my buddy who owns an electrical company breaks down electrical things for me, right? This is what I do for a living, and let me break it, that's what we're trying to do here. I just want to better educate. So anyway, let's get into the structure of the ETFs and ETFs versus mutual fund topic again, and let's do it in a way why we talk about how it may not be what you're invested in that's hurting your portfolio, but the structure, right? People always go, what do you mean by that? Well, I'll tell you. So first of all, you got to understand something. Every mutual fund manager knows. Now, they will tell you not to pick a mutual fund based by performance, okay, especially trailing performance, because the biggest correlation, when I worked at Russell Investments, Russell did amazing work on this. They had some brilliant people there, tons of brilliant people, learned a lot. And one of the things that they proved, I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, that the only predictor, the only real correlation that you could see over a period of time when looking at mutual funds. So let's say we take all the mutual funds in the world and we break them into five different sections. The first quintile is the best performing mutual funds over any given period. And then each quintile is the, lesser performing, right? So first quintile is the best, fifth quintile, last quintile is the worst, okay? The only predictor, the only correlation that holds up over short periods of time, long periods of time, whatever, in trying to pick mutual funds, is that whatever mutual funds finished in the first two quintiles over whatever period of time you were looking at, were the most likely to finish in the bottom two quintiles over the next period of time. Conversely, mutual funds that finished in the bottom two quintiles were the most likely to end up in the top two. That's the only correlation. So if you got some formula or some guys out there telling, I'm going to teach you how to pick the winning mutual fund. Don't listen to them. It's like somebody telling you they can time the market. They know when the market's going up and the market's going down. And I mean secularly, right? Just little moves. Right? Run the other way. Just nobody can do it. They can do it over short periods of time. And that's usually what happens. You know, people go, oh man, this person's had a really good success rate. And they go, over what period of time? And they go, well, you know, over the last 3 years, they've been hot. And I'm like, let me guess, they've been invested in tech stocks. They're like, yeah, how'd you know? Just because if you've been, they've all just gone up. It's just anti-gravity, right? So, but when we're looking at mutual funds, we need to understand that correlation and not sit there and think that we can outsmart it or we've got the magic touch. You don't. It's random. And then that's what mutual fund managers will tell you. But then they also know, they're saying that out of one side of their mouth, but they also know that the greatest way to build their assets under management is to outperform the market. Right? So they're trying to be in the first quintile, but they're telling you, you know, that you can't judge mutual funds based on performance because, you know, typically you have that performance-based rotation. And the whole issue, because of that, because they know that outperformance of the market is the number one thing that will influence the amount of assets that flow into their mutual fund, what do? Most of them, there are a couple exceptions, but most of them model their portfolio in a very disciplined way to replicate the S&P 500, and then they overweight sectors that they think are going to do better for whatever reason. And the reason they do that is they know that the number one way to round up new assets is to beat the market. And they also know the number one way to lose assets is to underperform the market. 2 or 3% typically won't lose them assets, but 5, 6, 8, 9, 10% will. Right? If you're a large cap mutual fund manager and you've put up, you know, let's say you're up, well, shoot, value, right? Let's say you're running a value portfolio over the last 4 or 5 years. You know, maybe you're up 30, 40% or something like that. Well, the market's up, you know, over the last 5 or 6 years. Anyway, if you've been running a large cap value portfolio, you've drastically underperformed. And assets are going away from you. Does that mean you're bad? Nope. It just means value's been in a rut. Anyway, the point is the mutual fund managers know this. And that's why they don't want, they want to slightly beat or slightly underperform the index. And this is where the structure comes into the equity side of the portfolio. Okay? We also know that in that pursuit, even professional mutual fund managers make errors. As a matter of fact, 93% of mutual funds underperform the market. And this is the whole basis of Vanguard. Vanguard said, wait a second, why are we paying a total of 0.8, 0.9, even 1% internal fees inside of a mutual fund when we're underperforming the stock market 93% of the time? We would be much better off over time having an internal cost of 0.1%, so 90% less on average, and just getting stock market performance. That beautiful idea came up in the mid-60s. I believe it was 65 is when Vanguard was launched by Jack Bogle. And they've been right on the money. They've crushed most mutual funds, right? Just through a lack of fees and not having those big disjointed years where they underperform the market because they're buying the market. And no matter what your mutual fund has done in the past, what it's going to do, I am telling you, if you have a portfolio of mutual funds versus a portfolio of ETFs, now I'm talking major market index ETFs, you're going to win over the long run in the market, in the index ETFs. The lower fees alone are almost impossible to overcome. You're looking at a fee difference typically between 10 to 15% over a 10-year period of time. Think about that. Just the fee reduction alone, an ETF portfolio over the average mutual fund portfolio is 10 to 15% difference. Now, we're not even talking about the underperformance. Remember, 93% of the time, the mutual fund underperforms the stock market. Then you throw that in there, and the typical difference is, you know, 20, 25% over a 10-year period of time. 25%, guys, just in the structure of your portfolio. That's not a guarantee, but we're talking about averages. That's pretty impressive, okay? Now, so that's the structure on the stock side of it. Then on the bond side of it, You guys know my thoughts on bonds. It continues to be true. I mean, it's just dead money. If the market keeps going up like this, rates have to rise. Your bond portfolios are going to get crushed. Your best case scenario as a bond investor is maybe rates stay right where they are and you continue to make less than the inflation rate and you continue to pay somewhere between 40 to 60% of the yield on your bond portfolio out in the form of fees. It doesn't make any sense. And you're sitting there waiting. You got your head on the block waiting for the axe to fall because as owning a bond portfolio right now, you're sitting there going, hey, here's the deal. I got a great investment. I'm going to sit here and I am going to make less than the inflation rate on my bond portfolio and I'm going to wait for interest rates to rise to kick me in the gut. Who wants some of that? And it's amazing how many people are lining up to do it. So what we do is we say, hey, let's sub out that bond portfolio. Let's replace it with our bond replacement strategy that has no fees, no cost, insured against loss, no caps on gains. Works very simple. You're insured against market loss in down years. You're capturing somewhere between 50 to 60% on average of the upside of the market. Years like this, there are these out there that we actually use right now. Year like this, market shot through the roof. Product that has no fees, no risk, right? It's insured against loss. And when I say risk, I'm not talking about all these other kinds. I'm talking about the fact it's insured against loss. And it's up double digits. Above 15%. I can't quote the actual performance number for regulatory reasons. I don't want to be, you know, like trying to lead people on or anything like that, but up in excess of 15% in a single year. That's not a typical year, but it's not a typical year in the market either, right? So you use you cut all those fees off. Typically, if we have a 60-40 portfolio come in from another big firm, by structuring it this way, we go from an average fee rate on the entire portfolio to about 2.2%. We add in the internal fees, the mutual fund, to the management fee they're paying. They're looking at about 2.2%. They move over to us. They get rid of the bonds. They go down to about 0.5% total cost in the portfolio. And we start out the year 1.7% ahead just based on fees. Okay. Then we've got the bond replacement strategy that's been averaging, you know, between 5, 6, 6.5% a year versus the bond portfolio that's making you less than 2 net of fees. And you're blowing away the typical stock bond portfolio with way less risk, way less cost. It just, again, it's structure. Client sat there and looked at me. He goes, you know, hey, Zach, well, you know, do you think this portfolio you're talking about will outperform? And I go, over the long run? Absolutely. And he goes, well, how can you be so sure? And I said, listen, I didn't guarantee you a return rate. I can tell you what the average performance of that portfolio has been, but I can't guarantee you an outcome. What I can tell you is that our portfolio, just based on structure, is going to win 98 times out of 100. Now, I don't know if that's 3% or 20, and it's just the structure. Because we're cutting 150 basis points off. I mean, you know how hard that is to overcome? Compounded, just the amount of fees that we're reducing go over and over into our portfolios. Let's say the performance is identical, which is hard to imagine. Because like I said, rates with bonds, your choice is you're going to keep making less than 2% a year net of fees. And then you're up, then the other side of it is rates rise and you get smacked, right? That's it. I mean, it's the only two options you got in a bond portfolio. So when you look at that, and then the fact that we're shaving 150 basis points a year off in fees, the fees alone on a compounded basis over the next 10 years will be right around 19 or 20% just in fees for worse performance. Hey, Jer, how can I interest you in this portfolio? I'm going to charge you 150 basis points more than you need to pay, and I'm going to give you a performance that is about 25% below the historical return rate. Where do you want to sign up, pal? Yeah, he's going to get his paperwork right now. He wants to sign. Now, and guy, it's just structure, guys. There's a better way to do it. Anyway, got to run. Now we come back, we're going to revisit China. Want to do some updates, some really interesting insights, and really hit that up. But if you are interested in learning about our structure, if you want to see the performance numbers, if you want to know about that ETF low-cost portfolio that's whooping mutual fund portfolios, doing it at less cost, and then about our algorithmic overlay that we put over the top of it, which is designed to limit losses, limit catastrophic losses. Right? Everything is about risk management. If you want to know how we're doing this, guys, you want to know more about the bond replacement strategy, you can go to the website, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You can sign up for the free booklet. You can email us for a consultation. We can do the consultation over the phone. We can do it over email if you don't feel like talking and hearing my annoying grating voice. Hopefully that's not the case, but, you know, can't be everything to everybody. Anyway, give us a call. You guys know the drill. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. We'll be right back. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, as we close out the year and look ahead to a crazy election year in 2020, what's the number one thing investors need to be aware of?
Dory, I'll tell you the same thing I told you when you and Suzanne became clients. Risk management. We're looking at 10 to 15 new prospective client portfolios every week. And I see two things. A, people are being far too cautious, or B, people aren't being nearly cautious enough. And remember, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. We can take less risk, pay far less in fees, and increase our upside potential. And our free booklet, Common Sense Investing, will show you exactly how we do that.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK or knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm's licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back. Want to get right into it here. So before we get to the China thing, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about one of our favorite executives, Mr. Dennis Muilenburg. It's Muilenburg. Boeing. You're about that, Jer? There was some blowhard on a weekend finance radio show that about a year ago, that was actually back in March, was saying that be careful with your Boeing stock. Management is, you know, just off the rails. Do it. And I took a lot of heat for that one. And I'm not gloating. I'm not, no part of this story is good. What I'm telling you is, and, you know, maybe Boeing stock goes on to make new all-time highs. Nothing would surprise me any longer in this market. When a market no longer reflects economic fundamentals and just reflects money flows, who knows? Maybe it goes higher. But look, the issues with Boeing were plain to see. And I think Boeing, in a lot of ways, is a microcosm of this market. I think everybody is just purely focused on the stocks going up and everybody's taking their eyes off the ball. And crazy thing is that had those, let's play a scenario here. And this really illustrates to me why everybody, like, no one's got their eye on the ball. No one really. Jim Cramer came on the other day and said, we all got to remember that Boeing is not a bad company, which it's not. We've been saying that from the beginning. Boeing and the employees and the innovation, phenomenal. Our issues with management. And I think the biggest dog of management just got ousted. So that's good. But Cramer goes, it's important that we remember that Boeing's a great company. It's just had poor leadership. And I'm sitting there going, Jim, wait, what? Where has that been for the last year? You've been standing up there defending Boeing. It's blow over. Boeing this, Boeing that. You have the CEO on. Tell us how good everything is. They're going to get the MAX up in the air. There's just no. And had those crashes with the MAX not happened, had we not lost those lives, pure tragedy, had it not happened, Boeing would probably be at $500 a share right now, and nobody'd still care. Yet the underlying fundamentals, those problems would still exist. This is my point. Is that had anybody done the basic research that we did, it sometimes when you research companies like this, you shock yourself at how right you are. Because when you do these research, you know, when you really dig deep, and you're not thinking you're going to get 100% of it right. That's just not the way it works. What you're hoping is that 75 to 80% of your thesis is in line, and that carries the day. Little did we know that all of our concerns about Boeing, just based off research, just doing the work, just taking time to ask the questions. It was right there. Blind man could see it in a minute. But nobody cared because stock was going up. What I am telling you right now, and this isn't me saying the sky is falling. I'm tired of being accused of that because I have never said sell your stocks. Not once. I said manage the risk in your portfolio. But I'm telling you, Boeing is the tip of the iceberg. No one's paying attention. You think the pros on Wall Street are? They're not. Go listen to Jim Cramer. Listen, that guy does the 360, I mean, the roundabout. It's just revisionist history. And I said, but no, you didn't. You were sitting there cheerleading Boeing the entire time, just like you were Lehman Brothers in 2009. Try to weasel your way out of that, too. Stand by your calls. And everybody's just carried away. Just forgetting, even the pros. I heard a great one the other day, too. Cramer's talking about his new rule of 40. Says, if you want to know if one of these new cloud stocks is overrated or too expensive or whatever, if you want to take the growth rate, so if they're growing revenue at, say, 50% a year, and then add the earnings, so let's say they lost $10 a share, right? So subtract that from the 50% growth rate, that puts you at $40 or 40 right there. That's 40. If you're 40 or above on that metric, you're a buy. And I just laugh because I thought, here we go again. We will rationalize this however we can. But meanwhile, it will have nothing to do with balance sheet quality. It will have nothing to do with the proper allocation of capital. It will have nothing to do with earnings. Remember, revenue growth does not pay investors. You get paid profits. And it's just amazing to me, the anatomy of bubbles. We figure out any way we can to rationalize this stuff. And another great pocket of the world where we have rationalized so much. In a lot of ways, it mirrors the Boeing thing. We're rationalizing it for financial gain at the cost of human lives. And China is number one on the list. And we've talked at length about what's going on in the Xinjiang province of China, the basic internment camps, where you got somewhere estimates are from 1.5 to 2, all the way up to 3 million people of the Uyghurs, which are a suppressed minority group of Chinese descent, but with Muslim religious heritage. They're rounding these people up and putting them in internment camps and then using live organ harvesting. China's the only place in the world that you can book an appointment to get a heart transplant. And if anybody's been around transplants of organs, you know that that ain't the way it works, right? You get put on a waiting list till one becomes available. If you can schedule a heart transplant for January 28th, in Beijing, either their actuaries and their quant people over there are amazing at predicting mortality rates and know precisely when a donor is going to die, or something untoward is going on. Well, what's going on? You got 3 million of the undesirable people in their country. They're locking up. The numbers climbing every single day. They're using their social networks to track these people down. They're the undesirables. They're making a business out of it. They're using the people for spare parts. And meanwhile, the NBA is tripping over themselves. American business are tripping over themselves, turning a blind eye to a modern day Holocaust that is going on inside of China. Go look it up. I'm not using hyperbole. And why does nobody want to pay attention to it? Because their bread's getting buttered. Now, here's the other side of it. And this is interesting. When we're talking about the Chinese economy, we talk about debt here in the United States, record deficits, all true. It looks horrible. But in essentially 250 years of existence, our government has run up the equivalent of $23 trillion in debt, I believe. China's economy has tacked on $45 trillion in the last 9 years. And the way they've been able to get away with it is every time the balance sheets get wobbly, every time there's a capital shortfall, the PBOC, the People's Bank of China, just backfills the bank's balance sheets with printed money. Now, once again, I will say this. I don't care who you have throwing a ball. they might be able to throw it so high in the air that you lose sight of it. It doesn't mean it's not going to land. Can't tell you exactly when, but I'll bet my house that it's going to land. China will have a default cycle. Something very interesting has happened in China this year. Story came out December 13th, Wall Street Journal. A little birdie pointed this out to me. Happens to be my uncle, great guy. Quasi-mentor to me. Not quasi, been a mentor like a big brother. Anyway, he told me, hey, I think this is great fodder for your radio show. Sent me the article. Something really interesting has happened. Default rates have been picking up in China. Had a couple bank closures. Now, something really interesting happened with the default rate pickups started in China. And that is that in the past, China had always taken care of foreign creditors. And the reason for that is pretty simple. When you're running a Ponzi economy, which they are, that is completely fueled off of printed money, even more so than ours, with absolutely unsustainable debt levels that are insane, you're building skyscrapers with nobody in them, you've got ghost cities, you're literally trying to gin up the economy by paying a guy to dig a hole and paying another guy to fill it back in. And what China's always done is they've defended external creditors, so people outside the country that have bought bonds or whatever, because they don't want to stop the flow of capital. Something really interesting happens. Some of these defaults have picked up in China, and as of the end of this year, China started giving internal creditors, so their own citizens, better terms in bankruptcy than they were giving external creditors. Everybody goes, why is that a big deal? Well, it's a big deal because it tells me now the PBOC is fighting a war on both fronts. That the only reason they're doing that at the risk of alienating external capital is because they are worried about a citizen uprising. They are worried about stability inside their own country. And you got the trade war on top of it. They're fighting the tariffs. I'll say it. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I am absolutely convinced that China is the ticking time bomb in the global economy. And when it goes off, nobody's safe. Again, not telling you to get out of stocks. I will tell you to get out of China. The other thing I'm going to tell you is be very cautious about what you're invested inside of 401ks. Because a lot of these 401k programs have increased their exposure to emerging markets, which they're still calling China. And a lot of these 401ks and even pension plans are loaded up with Chinese stocks and Chinese debt. First of all, Chinese debt, we have no clue how that's going to play out or what will happen in the event of a bankruptcy. My feeling is it's going to get blown up. Second of all, we own these Chinese equities, and we've got no idea what the credit quality of the company is because China doesn't have anywhere close to our oversight. And if we go through your 401k, unfortunately, what we see all too often is clients have way more exposure to this stuff than they think they do. And this gets right into our risk management talk. Do you know what you own? Do you know what your risk exposure is? Do you know what all your fees are? Do you know if you've got 10 to 15% of your portfolio loaded up with Chinese time bombs? And again, not a knock on the Chinese people at all. Kind of look at it like Boeing. Chinese people want to be Westerners. They want to have Western values. They love sports. This is the Communist Party of China, the CCP. But I'm telling you, those time bombs exist. And if you want to know if you own them, if you want to know what you own, if you want to know what your total risk exposure is, if you want to know what the actual cost in your portfolio is, if you want to know how your portfolio would have done in 2008, 2009, and how it will hold up during another downturn that's the same or even worse if that was to take place, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. And guys, if you don't feel like talking to us, you can ask for the free booklet over email. You can give us a call. You can set up a phone consultation. We can meet in person. Like I said, New Year's resolution, educate yourselves. The other thing is we got our classes and seminars coming up all over the Puget Sound. Email us and let us know if you want to get on your list. We should have some dates in the first or second week of January for you. But educate yourselves. Know what else is out there. Know how we can substantially reduce your risk and your fees and increase your upside so you make more in up markets. Anyway, we got to run. Have a happy new year and hope you had a Merry Christmas. We'll be back next year. God bless. And we'll talk to you soon. Go Hawks. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial.